God is in control. She's a happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ. She's a happy girl.
In this episode of the Woman at the Well Ministries podcast, join Kim Miller and Erica Close in a conversation as we walk with Jesus. In today's conversation, we're finding ourselves after Easter, but today we're continuing a series of conversations about the Holy Week and about the week leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. So join us as we look at these events and their message for our lives. Well, thank you so much for joining us in this podcast of Women at the Well Ministries. My name's Erica Close. I'm here with Kim Miller.
Hello, and what a pleasure it is to spend the next few moments with you. And we've made it Sunday.
Yes.
Resurrection Sunday is here. And so it is our time that we're having together where we are celebrating Easter Sunday, which is the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, following the horror of Jesus' arrest and betrayal, following the brutality of his torture and trials, climaxing in his crucifixion and death, following the silence and stillness of the cold, lifeless tomb. Sunday brought the spiritual equivalent of a nuclear explosion. Because Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. We're going to read today, Matthew 28, 2 through 4. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
It is so exciting to be able to talk about Easter Sunday and to be able to talk about the culmination of all of Holy Week. And we've been talking about all of these days of Holy Week now for seven weeks of conversations. And it's so exciting to just finally be here to talk about this. So many of us know the account of Easter. We know that Jesus rose on the very first day of the week. And what's amazing is on the very first day of the very first week, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. And on Easter Sunday, he did the same thing, right? When he commanded the light of the world, Jesus, to shine out of the darkness of the grave. We read about the angel of the Lord coming down from heaven. We read about the angel being bright and being light. So when Jesus' father forsook him and couldn't look at him because all of our sins were upon him, the angels withdrew from him. He was alone. He was away from the Father. And as we have Easter Sunday, what we see is all of that is coming back. All of his honor and all of his glory comes back to him at that moment.
Because light dispels darkness. And surely you remember that hymn, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes.
And we spent so much time in our last podcast on talking about Saturday when his foes were doing all that they could to ensure that they would triumph.
But that day, light dispelled darkness and he arose. Christ arose. Never have we seen anything in history, and never will we see anything in the future that can even slightly compare to this phenomenon of the truth that Jesus was crucified, he died, was buried, And on resurrection morning, he arose.
He rose.
The light of the world. When God spoke light into existence, it was amazing. But then he brought light to touch down on the earth. And he rose it from the darkness of sin, hell, death, and the grave. And we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. We are servants of the Most High God. He is our friend, our Savior, our Comforter, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, our prayer partner in John 17. This same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in each of us. And Ephesians 3:20 says that we can do amazing things according to the power that worketh in us. We have all the power. We just don't let him work.
I love that we have all the power. We have all of Jesus. You know, when I think about this account of the angel coming, right, going to the tomb and rolling back the stone, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, he talked about how it is finished, right? Mm-hmm. The work was done. His work was done, but he, in his death, finished and paid the payment in full.
Mm.
You know, when we think about this, it's not that all of a sudden Jesus arose from the dead and busted the stone, right? And broke out of prison. It was that God knew the payment had been completely made and he sent the angel to roll back the stone. Like when, if you or I were to ever get thrown in prison, if we were going to get out, somebody would come and let us out, right? They would open the cell door. So this angel comes and rolls away the stone, dispatched by God himself. Just like Jesus said it was finished, God said payment in full, right? The payment was done.
And he's still rolling the stone away today, the stone that blocks us from joy, the stone that blocks us from being who he has intended us to be, the stone that blocks us from living the abundant life he has promised us in John 10:10. God is rolling the stone away through Jesus, his son, who come that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Jesus was delivered from his death, right? Having paid for all of our sins and for our offenses. And he was raised again to completely justify us with the Father. So the stone that was our sins, the stone that held him in the grave, the stone that blocked him from getting out, was rolled away from the grave, showing that heaven had spoken, that payment was made in full, and that the work of Jesus was done. The angel that was sent didn't raise Jesus from the dead, but he signified that heaven was pleased, that God was pleased, and that Jesus himself was victorious.
And he's still the door. He says, Amen. I am the door, and no man cometh to the Father but through me. He is still rolling the stone away and giving us free access to God the Father through Jesus the Son. If we just have a personal relationship with him,
Amen.
If we believe and place our faith in him, he is the open door for all possibility, for all opportunity, for all blessing, for all favor, for all anointing. Jesus is the open door.
Amen. Amen. Full access. All stones rolled away. All right, so we're going to read now in John chapter 20, and we're going to read through verse 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, and she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And when they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
Oh, I have so much that I want to say. I love how it ends. And she told him that she had seen the Lord. When you have seen the Lord, everything changes. And that's why the scripture says that old things are passed away and all things become new. When you have seen the Lord, you are transformed and never the same. But as we begin to unpack this passage in John chapter 20, I want you to think about some things that we can just see quickly. First of all, I'm not sure whether Peter and the other disciple would have gone into the tomb had they been there alone. We are strengthened by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are uplifted and encouraged. We can sometimes find the motivation and the inspiration to do that which we know that we're supposed to do when we have others who are serving Christ and speaking of their testimony and living faithfully with us and around us and in front of us. Don't underestimate the value of having Christian friends.
Amen.
I also want you to see this picture of them stooping down and looking in for Christ. If we want to know who Christ is and find the knowledge of Christ, we've got to stoop down. That means we have to humble ourselves and submit our lives and our hearts and our minds to the Word of God and look in it. We've got to look through the Scriptures to learn of Him. We have to realize that we don't know it all, that we're not the most powerful, and that we aren't capable of taking care of ourselves. But instead, we need to lean on Jesus. We need to place our faith fully in Him. When you really love Christ, you're going to follow Him. And you're going to have a strong determination and a purpose in your heart that nothing can deter you. Those two disciples were seeking Jesus. And they were going to literally do whatever it took to see what was inside that tomb because they wanted to see Jesus. And when you really love Him, you're going to cleave to Him. And this woman comes to the tomb to weep, to grieve, to sit at the grave. Because she wasn't going to leave him and desert him. Anything to be close to him. And I don't know, those of you listening to me, if you've lost a loved one, you know that for a while you go to that cemetery frequently. You know they're not there. You know they're in heaven. But somehow you just want to be there. You want to somehow be what you think is closer to them. When you love someone, death doesn't take the love away. And so there she was, waiting. When you really love Him and you are seeking a relationship with Him, a friendship with Jesus, you're going to be constantly searching for knowledge of him. And the scripture tells us in Matthew 7:7, if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. And if we knock, it'll be opened unto us. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. My love for him keeps me in the word of God. Your love for him is going to give you a desire to know him better, to understand his character, to be aware of how he reacts and responds, to be familiar with his promises, to know the character that he asks you to exhibit as a follower of Christ. You're going to continually want to seek to know him more. And he tells us that if we will draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto us. You can't outgive him. He will gladly embrace you and fill you and teach you who he is. God, through his son Jesus, will manifest himself to you if you are seeking him and if you are expecting to find him. Mary longs to see the dead body of Christ and complains of that loss. And then behold, she sees him alive. She was seeking him. Now, she was seeking a dead body because she had lost that sense of he was going to be alive, and he stands in front of her. You can't outgive him. He will reward your diligence. He will reward your study. He will give you knowledge. He will give you understanding. He will answer your prayers if you were following after him, and he did just that. She didn't recognize him. She thought he was the gardener, but she was looking and seeking Jesus, and she found him. Just like Matthew 7:7 says, he will do more for us than we will ever ask or think. As we're told in Ephesians 3:20, Christ makes himself known to his people through the word of God. When we apply his word to our hearts, we are acquainted with him. We are associated with him. We become part of his family. And we need to communicate this knowledge, this relationship, this friendship with those that are around us. He says that we are to share the gospel. We don't want to keep our knowledge to ourselves. We want everybody to know Jesus the way we know him. If you knew him like I knew him, oh, how much he longs for us to know him fully, to trust him completely. We can share the joy of the disciples because he's alive. He's alive in us. Our sins are all forgiven. He paid the sin debt we owed that we couldn't pay, that he didn't owe, but only he could pay. He has swung open wide the gates of heaven, and he is the open door. And he says that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Praise the Lord. He's alive and asking for us to come unto him. And because he lives, we can live today and tomorrow. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And we know one thing for sure, that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard what lies in store for them that love him. One day, we're going to go to that mansion he talks about in John chapter 14, that he's prepared for us, that where he is, we may be also. And we're going to live with him forever and ever. Resurrection Sunday proves he's alive.
I think that as we come to the end of this series on Holy Week, culminating in the greatest day, Resurrection Sunday, it just makes me feel thankful. And to that end, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, which is Paul's prayer. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him,
the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is a prayer of absolute thanksgiving by Paul for the people of Ephesus, but how much is it also a prayer for us that we would be filled with the knowledge of Christ and our eyes would be opened, and that we would understand the exceeding greatness of his power that is to those of us who believe. As we conclude this series of looking at Holy Week, it's our prayer that God would richly bless you as you live in that amazing truth that Jesus is alive. He is the only Savior. He is the risen Lord, and soon he will return as King of Kings. Remember that you are loved. Jesus loves you. Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father, and it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved. Happy girl, she's a happy girl, she's a happy girl, living a life for Christ, she's a happy girl. Not that melancholy never comes to plague her soul, she just knows whatever happens, God is. Happy girl.